My name's Travis Sansom. I work for Microsoft. I'm inside Microsoft. I'm called a TSP. That stands for Technical Solution Professional. If you talk to a lot of Microsoft people, we love acronyms for our title names. Technical Solution Professional, that means I'm on the data platform team. So I'm in charge of any product which is data related. So that means SQL Server, I'm talking about a lot. Power BI, I'm talking about a lot at the moment because it's one of the cool new things. And it's moving very fast, but also machine learning, real-time analytics, Azure Data Catalog, Azure Data Lake, and Azure SQL Data Warehouse as well. So a lot of different services. So for today, we're going to be looking at Power BI, and more specifically, the developer part of Power BI, so the actual backend of Power BI, and how you can be empowered to do more things. I will start off with a conversation and say that if you are looking for kind of what is Power BI and the front-end consumer side of Power BI, Grant Paisley later on will be doing a session. And I've instructed him to go heavy on that front-end part. So with that, what I thought we'd do, I was going to start with slides first, but I'm not going to because they weren't prepared in that way. I thought we'd just start, and I'll just level set what Power BI is so that we're all kind of on the same page. So Power BI is Microsoft's cloud-hosted BI service. Today, there doesn't exist an on-premise Power BI. We made some announcements last week that you will eventually be able to publish Power BI desktop reports to reporting services. And that'll give you kind of a pathway to on-prem Power BI, but it doesn't exist in entirety today. Happy to talk about that afterwards if people want to hear. Not much information though. So this Power BI, on the front, you've got a whole set of dashboards. Each one of these dashboards are actually, inside the dashboard, there's a set of tiles. Each one of these tiles actually drill down into another report which sits underneath. So if internet's being nice, you notice that tile goes ahead and drills through down to the bottom. There we go, the report opens. The reports are nice and interactive as well. So when I click them, everything goes ahead and changes and all of that good stuff. We're working on ways to make it more faster and efficient to use. So there's things like if you were to go to this Get Data tab down here, you'll see a couple of ways to import data into the service. You'll see My Organization, Services, Files, Databases. If I go Services, click, you'll see these are a whole bunch of SaaS vendors that we're working with at the moment to create content packs. The content packs let you just sign up, use a username and password, you get a dashboard in about a minute or two. And it's what you expect. So if you're using, say, Google Analytics today, you will get a dashboard that looks at all your web traffic and the users who are sitting in the site and their different locations. I know for Salesforce as well, you actually get a choice of two dashboards. You get a sales employee or a sales manager dashboard, and you can choose that, and that comes through. Now, I won't be talking about what will eventually happen, to my understanding, is we will actually open this up so developers can jump on and other vendors can start making their own content packs to put on the portal. I should say, if anyone's in that boat and wants to come talk to me, come talk to me. It's more about getting you guys prepped now for when it does eventually come out. Now, so that's Power BI in general. Now we'll swap back to slides. So Power BI, the developer edition. I'll start here. So life as a developer. So if you go onto the Power BI site, if you want to find the developer tab, it's all the way down at the bottom, unfortunately. It's down at the bottom and it's under the information, so you go developers. In terms of options for developers, there's kind of four main areas that the Power BI team's broken it into. The first two options are actually prerequisites to dealing with Power BI. I'm gonna, as part of this presentation, we'll walk through a screenshot of how to configure Azure AD for Power BI. The next area is integrating Power BI to your apps. So this can either be through, where I'm gonna show you, you can either embed a tile today You can add and maintain data sets as well through the API. So I'll often do that if I've got a real-time data source going to Power BI and I want to flush out the cache of the real-time data source. And then you've got an import API as well, and then some other stuff as well. Growing. One thing you don't have today is embedding the whole dashboard into a blog, and that will come through the developer side. Just not yet. They're working on it as we speak. It's one of the number one customer requests. Contributing back to Power BI. So this is one of the more interesting parts, to be honest. So Microsoft, we made the announcement that we open sourced all of the visualizations for Power BI. They've written in a thing called D3 in JavaScript. I'm going to take you through the SDK. I'm also going to take you through the one that I submitted as well. We had a nice best visual contest video where you'll see I'm in it, which was kind of interesting. And that's kind of the custom visual. We've had about 20 different visualizations submitted already, and they are full-fledged submissions. I'll show you how to get access to them. I'll show you how to use them as well. And those are the four different areas for Power BI. Now, an agenda for today. So what we're going to go through first is using the REST API, and more specifically, we'll go through, I'll show you what it looks like. I'll show you the awesome documentation we have. Then I'll show you embedding tiles within an app. I wanted to get a live demo of importing a Power BI desktop file to Power BI, but I did not have the time. But I do have a code sample for you. And then we'll go through the custom visual SDK, a walkthrough of the framework, kind of how it's built out. So if you do want to get into that, you can. And then I don't know if we'll get through building a visual, but we'll go through mine. Cool. So the first part to talk about is Power BI as for security. The authentication mechanism that it uses is Azure Active Directory. So behind the scenes, what we use is actually O365 logins and users. So when you log into Power BI effectively, you use your O365 credentials. And then what happens is we attach a license after you log into Power BI. We do it transparently behind the scenes so a business user can jump on, start using Power BI, but IT is still notified at the same time. That's how it's been built out. A bit different because people kind of ask me, oh, how do I provision a user for Power BI? You don't have to do that. We do that for you. Unless you've blocked it, then you will have to do it. You can block it, though. So I should say as well, there's a link down the bottom. If you do have more questions about security, the team did release a security white paper, which does detail out the location of where Power BI is stored, data center-wise, and all of the encryption at the different levels and how the documents are all handled. So go have a look at that. So the first part of developing for Power BI, you're going to need to configure app and an application inside of Azure Active Directory. You can see that's the portal of, that's our one, and I scrubbed out the Microsoft part so you couldn't read that. So there, once you've created, so you create a new application, and then once, so you go there, application, add it down the bottom. The next thing you do is you choose native client application as opposed to web application. The next, oh, that faded. Okay, that's not right. So the one behind, so you'll see it's kind of faded, but, oh, that's right. The next part is you'll go and hit the redirect URI, and you should be able to pick up the redirect URI from the Power BI docs. The last area is once you've actually added the application, you'll press another button, which is Add Application, where you're actually going to choose Power BI as an option, so the Power BI service. And this is basically saying for any user who connects through your application, through to Azure AD, is going to get certain permissions to Power BI. So on the next screen, what you'll see is then you go ahead and configure which permissions you want the user to get when going to Azure Active Directory. This does mean if you are developing it from a third-party point of view, you will need whoever you're developing the work for to have done this already so you can get into their Power BI tenant. Cool.
next?
Okay, so that's the security, very fast view of the security side. It's not too bad to do. There's some great Docker on it as well. The first area we'll go into, so integrating Power BI to your apps. So three areas today that you can do. One is maintaining data sets in Power BI. So like I said, so create, add, remove rows, clear data sets, and remove data sets. The next part is embedding tiles into applications. We had a developer / partner called DevScope. They built an amazing PowerPoint plugin for Power BI, so you can actually embed tiles into Power BI presentations. That's one of the examples of the embed. It's a really nice plugin as well. If you ever need to show anyone PowerPoint with Power BI, go use it. Import Power BI desktop files is the other one, the last one. So you have the ability to programmatically actually import Power BI desktop files into different users' environments from the API. You've got a couple of options when doing this. You can either connect through to OneDrive for business, or you can do a straight upload to powerbi.com as well. Yeah. Cool, okay. With that, okay, so I should say, whilst I'm going through, if people want to, so I'm very prone with Power BI, just keep talking. So if you have questions, let me know. So the first thing I'll show you, so if you go here onto powerbi.com, like I said before, scroll all the way to the bottom, you'll see it here, developers. Click developers and go through. You'll see those are the four icons that I had before. If you want documentation on how to do what I just walked you through, that's there. I'll go try the API. And then it's going to load Apiary, which is where they host the documentation. Now, Apiary is very good because what it lets you do is when I click this, it comes across here. No one's going to be able to see that. Can anyone see that? Okay. It's not too important what's there. You'll see, though, when you click it, you can basically get code samples for all the different languages that you want to use. So if you're .NET, if you're Java, if you're Python, if you're PHP, it's all there for you because it is a REST API. You'll notice as you go through, so list all dashboards, list all tiles. So list all dashboards would give you the list of dashboards that a user has access to. Tiles would list all the tiles inside a particular dashboard. Getting a tile gets a specific tile. Data sets, it walks you through what a data set JSON structure looks like, the different data types that Power BI expects. Listing all the data sets that a user has access to, creating a data set, listing all the tables inside a data set. So inside Power BI, you have a data model sitting behind a file, and inside that data model, there's multiple tables. So you can list all of them. Updating an existing schema for a table as well, so if that's relevant. So if you wanted to know, I'm not going to demo it, but we have an amazing connector for a service called Stream Analytics. Basically, Stream Analytics is our real-time data feed, which you can post through to Power BI. If you make a change in Stream Analytics and it needs to update Power BI, that's the endpoint that it uses to actually do it. Table rows, add rows to a table in a data set, clear the rows in a table, and groups. List all groups. I should say, if people don't know what groups are, I didn't show that. I never do. Up here in Power BI, you'll notice here that I'm working in my workspace currently, but what I have is actually other workspaces underneath, which are called group workspaces, where I can work in a group collaboratively with somebody else. So this is everything I've got access to. I hope there's no clients on there. Otherwise, you know who's been working. And then you can go and click through. You can share through them all of that. So listing all of them out. So once you've played with, once you that, you can get the sample from there. I've got Visual Studio already open. And I was debating whether I should do this live, and I didn't trust myself. Okay, so the first thing I'll do, so I've got here an MVC, an ASP.NET MVC application sitting underneath. The nice thing with MVC, so I've got my home controller here, so when it spawns just straight away, it's going to hit this page. I've got my index here. Now, the first thing I'm doing is I'm calling this getToken method, which I've written. What this getToken method's going to do, and I'll walk you through in a second, it goes ahead and talks to Azure Active Directory, requests that I want to access it, and then returns back a token that you use to pass and interact with the API. So I'll show you it. Looks like this. So this is what it looks like. So you've got your resource URI there. That doesn't actually change, so that'll be the same regardless of whatever application you're developing. You've got your client.